Hello, everyone. Welcome to Pep Talk, Pepperdine University's podcast dedicated to sparking conversations of personal and global significance, featuring world-renowned professors, faculty, and students from across the university. In this Pep Talk series, we will be discussing relationships. Whether you are single or married, a parent or a grandparent, a professional or an executive, relationships are an essential part of our lives. Join us as we explore how to build relationships and navigate their challenges in today's world. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Pep Talk, where we've spent this series exploring what it means to build strong, meaningful relationships with friends, family, spouses, and communities. Today, we come to the heart of it all, our relationship with God. Now, what does this really mean, and how do we pursue it in seasons of joy, calling, or suffering? Joining us today is Dee Dee from the Boone Center for the Family to help us land this series where it all begins, with a God who sees us, knows us, and invites us into lasting connection. Dee Dee, welcome to the podcast.
I love being in these conversations with you guys.
Awesome. Let's dive in.
So I would love to start off, Dee Dee. We're talking about relationship with God today. And I think even if you're looking at the title of this episode, you might look at it and you go, oh, I know exactly what they're going to say. Just because this is a term that gets thrown around so much in Christian culture that we kind of think we know what it means. But I would guess that you would challenge that and say that there's probably a depth to the idea of relationship with God that a lot of us maybe aren't familiar with. So when you're talking about relationship with God, just from a 30,000-foot view, what is it that we are talking about?
Yeah, and I love that you're asking that question. Dallas Willard addresses this. He has, you know, some real strong warnings against the familiarity of concepts that we, the more things become familiar to us, the more shallow they can become, particularly in our culture. And when you talk about this issue of relationship with God, you know, some of the best theologians and thinkers spent their lives unpacking this idea of relationship with God. You know, St. Teresa of Avila and Augustine and C.S. Lewis. The relationship with God was like a lifetime pursuit. Brother Lawrence, presence of God, practicing the presence. So this thing of relationship with God actually is transformative. It's what grounds and girds us to be stable throughout life. And it's actually what we're made for. Like, we're designed to be in intimate relationship with God. And apart from intimacy, we actually flail around a bit. We can't be well. It impacts dramatically our well-being, whether it's relationship with one another or relationship with God. We're designed to be connected not only with the Creator, but with each other.
I'm hearing already the words of Jesus when he says to the disciples, I'm the vine and you're the branches. Without you, without me, you can do nothing.
Oh, yeah. John 15, I could live there. Apart from me, you can do nothing.
And a lot of times, I think previously, maybe I thought of that in a sense of like works, like you can't get anything done in the world. But I think there's something deeper that you're getting at, which is like, the vine, literally, the branches shrivel up if they're not connected to the vine because they're not made to exist on their own.
It is the lifeblood of the vine.
Yeah.
You know, and so I love the way Tozer puts this statement. You know, he doesn't say what I think about God. He says what comes to our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. It's what I actually believe. It gets right to the heart. He passes religion. It's not just what I happen to think. It's what's the first thought that comes to mind? What do I really believe about who God is?
Yeah.
Behind the facade of what everyone thinks I believe. And how do I connect those two? Because I need to connect them. And that's what's really important, making that connection between heart and mind and connecting with the God of the universe in an authentic and real way transforms my life and anchors me. And that's the promise of Scripture all from the beginning, right? Is this abiding relationship that God made us and he's for our good. He created us to be in union with him. The first picture we see is him, first of all, saying, hey, you're made to be in my image. And then he's walking with us in the garden. And then when we separated ourselves from him, he pursued us. And then he sent his son to continue pursuing, and he said, I'm going to take the cost of getting you back on my own shoulders. It's not going to be on you. It's going to be on me. It's beautiful.
I love that image. And Kobe, you may be able to help me with this, but you know that one, and we see it all the time in like the humanities classes, but that picture of
the creation of Adam.
Yes, the creation of Adam. Yes. And like he's sticking out his...
Wait, is that Da Vinci? I think it's Michelangelo.
No, it's Angelo.
It's Michelangelo.
Sistine Chapel.
But it's just like, you know, the Adam's hand is just like, you know, falling to the... Like not even trying, but then God's hand is like fully out trying to touch us. Yeah. And I just, oh, that's just the most beautiful picture. And I think that's what we're talking about here today.
Yeah, and isn't that our own experience? Like if I'm being really honest, my heart wants to stray so often, but cultivating a practice of the presence of God and relationship with God is, I think, one of the most important pursuit of our life, because everything flows out of that.
Hmm. Well, and so I think the natural question then is what does it look like to cultivate that kind of a relationship? Are there particular practices? Is it just sort of Christian spiritual things you're doing? Is it the physical things you're doing in your daily life on a daily basis, but doing them in a different way? Is it a combination of these? Is it something else?
Oh, yeah. I love the way you're asking that question, because I think it is so easy for us to want like a 1-2. Can you give me the answer that's going to fix my problem?
Yeah.
And I'm guilty of that, too. Just quick fix. We're bigger, better, stronger, faster. Just tell me what I need to do to make this better. So I would love to say it's a series of practices. And the truth of the matter is practices are a part of transforming me into wanting to be in relationship with Christ. But I'll use an example of prayer. We could all say that prayer matters to us and wake up in the morning and say a prayer and pray before we eat. But are we in a practice of prayer? Is that prayer a conversation with the Lord that we're having throughout the day? Does it stop at just something I check off in my box? And really, my heart posture makes a huge difference to what that looks like on a given day. And there are some days where the practice of praying when I don't feel like praying actually is doing the work in me. And then there's the days where I'm noticing my heart straying, and getting my heart back on track is actually the practice of being in the presence of God. You get that? So I think practices are a journey and an avenue for us to get back into the presence of God. But the practice actually isn't the answer. It's just a vehicle. And so we can rely on practices to actually do the thing.
They're trainers, right? It's training wheels.
Yeah.
That hopefully you can, when you can get out on the bike as life goes on and be doing these things even when you're not quote unquote doing the things.
Yeah.
Brother Lawrence, who you mentioned, right, talks about washing dishes. Right,
yeah.
He's like, I'm never more in the presence of God. That he was cooking in the monastery, and he was cooking in the book.
Yeah,
and he says, I'm never more in the presence of God than when I'm doing my work, washing the dishes. But this is because he's cultivated a particular kind of real attitude in relationship and closeness to God.
He's habituated.
That's available to all
of
us.
He's actually habituated himself to use washing the dishes as a reminder of certain things that get him into the presence of God, you know, which is a very powerful tool. Man, power of habit, could have learned from him, for sure. And even as you're talking about that, practices are really an important part of our journey, but the practice isn't the end result, just like you're talking about with washing dishes and finding things like what in your heart actually needs to grow. Reading scripture can be the same. How many people, their whole lives, reading the Bible in a year, but they are just getting through to the end of the Bible at the end of their day and say, okay, I got through that, versus reading the story of scripture and let it inform what they think about who God is. Like, what's the character and nature of God? So that when something hits me that I don't know, like we live in a broken world, things hit us that make us question, like, how could a good God allow this to happen? Those doubts are really an essential part of a relationship with God. In my relationship with my husband, if I withhold something that's confusing about his action rather than engage a conversation, we lose intimacy and trust in our relationship. And yet, in my relationship with God, I can sometimes fail to bring him the struggle I'm having. Instead of like going to scriptures and saying, okay, here's what you're saying. How can this be true and you be good? Let me dig in a little more.
This is the book of Job.
Yeah.
Right? You would read the book of Job and goes, who trusts in God's character? Is it Job who's questioning God, or Job's friends who are like, Job, God's always good, so you must be doing something wrong? It's actually Job who has far more trust in God's character, right? Job's friends don't actually believe that God is good. They just believe that he's so powerful that it's better to call him good. And like, oh, I guess we better just like take it, whatever happens. Whereas Job, right, he says, God, I know that you're good. And therefore, right now, when it doesn't seem like you're good, what's going on?
Yeah.
Right? That's how you talk to someone who you're actually intimate with.
You actually bring it together and you trust them to resolve it with you. And one of my favorite parts of reading scripture is that God doesn't hold back the hard parts about who he is. Like he lays it all. I want you to see all of me. I want you to be in it with me. And I want you to trust me in what you've read. And can you keep pursuing and coming to the table with me? And I love that about reading scripture. It just opens my mind to understand the character and nature of God so that when I get to a place in my life where I'm like, I don't understand what's happening and I'm not feeling your presence, God, that I can do what David did and say, and yet I'm going to keep stepping. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to trust you, and I'm thankful that you're with me. I know I'm not alone, right? And that changes the way I do life. It changes the way I interact with people. It opens doors to forgive people that may have wronged me. Do you see how it just applies to daily life? Like who I am with Christ impacts everything else I do in life. But it's in an authentic relationship that's open and honest and transparent and growing. And I'm spending time with him in prayer and I'm reading in the word. And those are practices, but they're not monotonous. They're like hanging out with my husband in the morning as we read the Bible and pray together, right? They become parts of our identity together. The usness we build together. We talk about usness and relate strong. And we talk about a lot of this and about our own, the things inside of us that create barriers to intimacy with God or with other people. And how important it is for us to kind of capture the thoughts we have about God. And one of the things that we teach in Relate Strong really talks about I use an example of a water bottle, like, you know, those big Stanley water bottles. You have a big Owala right there.
Sponsored, by the way. Owala, if you're out there, sponsor us.
We'll take it. 15% commission.
We'll take it.
Or Stanley. But honestly, Walmart brand. We'll
take it.
I have Simple Modern. I'm preferential to Simple Modern. But here's what I'll say. Like, I can carry this water bottle huge, and everybody thinks I'm hydrated. And we kind of do this in the church a lot. Like, We'll carry around this sticker, wear across, you know, everybody knows, put a fish on the back of our car, right? Everybody knows what we believe. But in reality, sometimes I don't feel that way, right? Sometimes I don't believe. And I'm actually not hydrated by carrying around a big water bottle. I'm hydrated when I drink enough of it to saturate me at a cellular level. And that's what relationship with God does, is it's taking it in and saying, I don't feel this, but I'm going to drink anyway. I'm going to let it saturate me at a cellular level. Do I believe that God pursues me? Do I believe that God loves me? Do I believe that God is with me? Sometimes I'm not going to feel it, but his word tells me that it's true. So I'm going to step into it and I'm going to know that that is true. Do you see the difference in that?
Oh, totally. And you make me think of in the Screwtape Letters where Screwtape, if you're not familiar.
Please read it. If you
are
not.
Yeah, actually. Lewis is doing this thing where he has an elder demon talking to a younger demon about how to tempt the patient, quote unquote, how to tempt a person and kind of throw them off the path.
To faith.
Yes, off the path to faith, off the path to authentic relationship with
God.
Oh,
yeah.
And there's a bit where Screwtape says, there's no point when our cause, aka the enemy's cause, is in more danger than when the patient, feeling forsaken, feeling abandoned by God, cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And then still obeys. Right? And like this is a reference to Christ doing this ultimately, right? But in these moments where we don't feel the relationship with God, it's actually such a key moment to maintain it.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. And I love that example. And, you know, when you just going back to some of what we've talked about, like when you read the word and when you're embedded in the story of Christ's sacrifice for us and you get stuck on suffering in your life and you go, we're all compelled to answer, why am I suffering like this? Yeah. It helps us to understand, hold on a second, what was Jesus' response? Like, he stepped into suffering. So if Jesus didn't protect him from suffering, then maybe suffering isn't the thing I'm supposed to be avoiding. Maybe in the example of Christ, there's things that suffering is worth, is worthy of doing for a greater goal, for a greater purpose, right? And like, so in understanding Christ and in learning that, and in knowing his story and remembering his story and drawing it to mind, I actually am compelled towards becoming, transforming, being more like him.
And this is the New Testament authors everywhere, right? Like, what is the Christian life? It's sharing in the suffering of Christ. Paul says we're united with him in a death like his so that we might be united with him in a resurrection like his.
And being transformed.
Yeah.
Looking like him, suffering like him, living like him. And finding, that's well-being and flourishing. And I'm not saying, please don't hear me say, suffering is flourishing, but suffering can be flourishing. Actually, our context isn't the point. When you look at all of Pauline, like especially Philippians, you know, this ode to joy that he is writing from prison. And I was just reading it actually this morning, and I was drawn by what it must have felt like to be Paul in a moment writing to the Philippians in prison. And for some reason this morning, what caught me was he's saying, I think I'm going to be let out and come to see you. Well, we know that doesn't happen. And I just thought about being in that moment and this, oh, I'll make it out of this. I've made it out of all these other things. But his words are going to be put to the test because he's not going to make it out of this one. And yet he is saying in Philippians, I've learned to be content in every circumstance. Like, it doesn't matter what my context, whether I'm suffering or I'm in plenty, whether I have or have not. In Christ, Christ is more. My relationship with Christ is worth more than anything. And like, when you taste a relationship with Christ and are transformed by it and anchored by it, it does change you. And it does give you stability that you don't have otherwise, that's not based on what's happening around you. It's based on what he's doing in you.
So it seems like it's been an ancient, you know, question for some time, but why is the pursuit of a relationship with God still the most important question for us today and for the church today?
Because though time has changed, I don't think we as human beings have, and the same longings, the same desires, the same... There's nothing new under the sun. We're the same human beings, human race. And we have appetites and desires that would like to consume us and take us off track. And that we can get stuck feeding for the rest of our lives. The desires that actually captivate us might look different over a span of centuries. But they're still desires that are counter to what we were made to do and become. We have inherent worth and value. We are co-creators with the King. We were made to do this thing together. And we find flourishing when we're in it with each other and with him. And I think that's where true wellness and flourishing can be found, both in the church and in our families and in our homes, that is grounded on walking, just simply walking with God.
And I hear, too, the sort of Augustinian thing that I know you've talked about before here.
Oh, yeah.
Right, where there's something inherently where we know when we're trying to fill ourselves up with something that's not going to satisfy.
Oh, yeah.
But we're going to try and fill ourselves up with something, yeah?
Yeah, that my heart is at unease until it finds rest in you is a paraphrase of what Augustine, man, yeah, and he would say, paraphrasing again, his life was about a pursuit of relationship with God. Like, that was his highest calling. And the transformation he experienced and the settling of his soul. And I would say in our day and age, I think we have lots of examples in media, on Twitter, of the pain of pursuing what the world has to offer and the emptiness of arriving at what everyone thinks should be where you've made it and you have everything you could have ever hoped. And the number of people that have said it's meant nothing. I mean, the one that comes to mind now is Tom Brady, but it's not the last. So the pursuit of something that is worth living for. We're made for something more. I think we've sold ourselves a little short, and it starts with finding rest and relationship with God. Mm. And out of that, everything else flows.
So what encouragement or invitation do you have to offer to someone who's potentially listening to this podcast, maybe not a Christian, maybe is a Christian, but somebody who's reading, searching, and spiritually curious for a real relationship with God, and or they've never felt the Spirit? What encouragement would you give to them?
That is a great question, and I would say press into it.
Mm-hmm.
I would say listen to some good podcasts that give you some information, read some good books, find some good people, like have conversations and coffee, direct and face-to-face with people who can help you on that journey and give you some ideas of what you could try. I wish I could offer, hey, follow these three steps to relationship with God. But the impact on our, like, there is an authentic barrier each of us experience. And so stepping into it with an authentic, what's keeping me from God? You know, being willing to ask the questions, and what's going to get me close to him for real? And what do I need to know about him? What questions do I have? Let's not be afraid of doubt. Step in. Man, check out Boone Center for the resources we offer at the Boone Center for the Family, because we care deeply about connecting what you believe with how you live, and how to integrate that. Like, how do I get to a place where my identity can be secure in what I believe? And then how do I practice carrying that out in a way that helps me live a solid faith-engaged life?
Well, and I would love to hear you speak to that a little bit. I think you mentioned something there right at the end that's really powerful, which is obviously none of us are ever going to be perfect in this, but when you are truly walking in a secure relationship with God, how does this kind of change the way that you're approaching your daily life and relationships and other people and your job? And I think there has to be a real difference in the way that you're able to look at these things when you're truly grounded in something else.
Yeah. First thing that comes to mind is my identity isn't defined outside of Christ. So although I care about what people think about me, I mean, I was just talking to my sister today. We live in a world where we're built off of likes, and we have so many things that define our identity and whether we're okay. And there is such freedom in being able to say, actually, whether you like me or not, my identity, my worth, my values inherent in my being. And actually, I'm good. I'm made in the image of God. I'm loved by God and pursued by God. And it actually sets me free and opens me up to be authentic in a way that I can't in other relationships. It also helps me to know that every human being is inherently worthy and valuable. And so how I approach other people changes, because
actively loving others.
I can actively love others, and I cannot expect, you know, I can approach relationships.
You're not trying to fill yourself up with the relationship.
Yeah, and I don't need you to affirm me. I can step in with authenticity and let you be you and let me be me, and let's figure this out together.
Be in the image of God.
Yeah, I'm made in the image of God. And so belonging looks very different. I can know that I bring unique gifts to the equation and talents to the equation, and you do too. I don't have to bring them all. We live in a culture where we have to be all things. You have to do everything.
Yeah.
But I can actually step in and go, I have certain gifts that I've been given. God has given them to me, and I'm so excited to discover what God has given in you. And wow, how can we, like, I'm so excited we get to meet and talk and look at like how these play off each other.
So cool.
I don't have to be everything, and I'm not threatened by when you're something that I'm not. Like, I get to be me. I'm good.
Yeah.
Do you see?
That's
and then so it just changes how I can mother, how I can parent, how I can spouse, how I can be a coworker. How I handle challenges that come up, because I'm not defined by them.
Yeah.
Like, I'm good.
So good.
But hard days happen, so I can make lemonade and move on.
Well, as we wrap up this episode and this series, we're reminded that every relationship we've explored finds its foundation in our relationship with God. Dee Dee, thank you so much for joining us today. There's so many great nuggets. If you guys are interested in Relate Strong, please check out the link below. Thank you, guys.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks. So fun.